Hello and welcome to another episode of Dice Exploder. Each week we take a tabletop mechanic and ask it which page to turn to. My name is Sam Dunnewald and my co-host today is Viditya Valetti. It continues to be the month of Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, my new John Wick-inspired deck builder RPG now on Kickstarter. Go check it out! I've wanted to have Viditya on the show for a couple of years now. He's a great designer, best known for his lovely, quick and easy world-building game, A Land Once Magic. And when I invited him on the show a few months ago, he jumped at the chance to talk about Mobile Frame Zero Firebrands from McGay and Vincent Baker, and the mechanical structure Firebrands is best known for. In Firebrands, you go around and take turns picking from a curated list of mini-games, each of which frames one scene through a detailed list of prompts. And this isn't just like a couple of prompts, it's two pages in a whole booklet of mini-games you keep in front of you, like a reference sheet or a character sheet while you play. And boy, does this just work like dynamite. I love it so much. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes started as a Firebrands hack. The game had a whole list of John Wick and Kill Bill-style revenge movie scenes like any Firebrands game, until I slowly realized the game just didn't need any of that structure. It didn't need a list of scenes to pick from. It needed a list of characters. So what does that look like? We get into it, not just why we love Firebrands and what makes its minigames such a fantastic piece of design and framework, but also how it might change and transform into something new. Thanks to everyone who's already backed Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on Kickstarter, and here is Viditya Valetti with Firebrands minigames. Viditya, thanks for being on Dice Exploder.
Yay! I'm very happy to be here. I can't wait.
Incredible. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about Firebrands and minigames and scenes.
Yeah. Let's start with like Firebrands big picture. What's the deal with Firebrands? What are you doing in this game?
Mobile Frame Zero Firebrands is we are all like from a different faction in a Gundam style universe. So we're all like mech pilots and mech war sci-fi space things. And what you're doing is you play a singular character and everybody else plays a singular character and you like pick a scene to do with somebody or everyone. Like, we want to have a conversation, or like, I want to talk to you about something. So you could do like a conversation over food. And you're like, cool, like, so our scene is set as a conversation over food. What are we eating? Where are we? Whatever. And then each scene is very like back and forth with like small mechanical prompts or so on and so forth.
Yeah, let's be clear that like this is not just like, ooh, we're having a conversation over food. Start role playing. No. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay, set up. Ask your chosen partner how you two came to be eating together. Other players can join freely if it makes sense for their characters to also be present at the meal. What do you notice about each other? What have you heard? During the meal, anyone can ask for details about the setting, occasion, and circumstances. And that's like the first chunk of like big chunks of how this like mechanically goes down. And so you're like going through, you're reading this stuff. You're like, oh, I guess that's true now. I'm being asked questions. Great. We're like pausing in reading the rules to like answer these questions. Like, what do you notice about each other? What have you heard? That kind of thing. And then many of these mini games, including a conversation over food, end up at this situation where you are taking turns choosing prompts. So like here we're taking turns choosing topical questions. Like, I make an ignorant social or diplomatic blunder. Do you let me recover gracefully or do you hold it against me? I hope you don't bring blank up, do you?
Yeah.
And, you know, we just go back and forth from a list of like 15 of these things.
Yeah, it's I'm glad you read it out because like I love how these prompts are written. Like they are.
Yeah.
It's really fun. I like Firebrands as a system because it is almost roleplay optional. The first time I ever played The King is Dead, which is another Firebrands game by the Bakers, I speed ran it. Like that was like kind of the reason why we were playing it is like, can we speed run The King is Dead? And so it's like a lot of this, like you can kind of just answer back and forth within the topics, but then you can also like break from it, explain the situation. So it's like, I'm feeling expansive. What do you want to know about me? And like, you could then just answer also out of character. And then we could do all of this out of character, but it still builds this beautiful story.
Yeah.
Or I can say, I'm feeling expansive. And then I show you how, okay, let's get into it. And I think that's really fun. Oh, it's good.
prompt games are just great. So there are a few things in what you were saying that I wanted to like pick up on. So the first of those is like how much it feels like this, like, this game is like GM-less, right? Like, there's no central GM except for the Bakers, like the designer, yes, of the game. Like, this game and The King is Dead, which I've actually never played Firebrands. I've only played The King is Dead. So a lot of my stuff is coming from that. But a lot of the, like, meeting sword to sword, stealing time together, a lot of the mini games from Firebrands were directly ported over with, like, minimal adaptation to The King is Dead.
Yeah.
But it really feels like while you are playing, the Bakers are facilitating for you, like they're GMing for you. Like, you can, at the start of a conversation over food, you have, what do you notice about each other? What have you heard? That's exactly the kind of thing when I'm GMing that I ask the players at the start of a scene who are like coming in to have a negotiation like this, right?
Yeah.
And because the Bakers are still so like hard framing scenes and procedures for you, I think it also like allows you to do PvP a little bit better, because they've confined the bounds of that like PvP really well. And like the thing you were talking about with something really nice about the prompts is how much the prompts are sort of like asking for your consent.
Huge.
Like, when I ask you a prompt, I'm asking you to consent to a certain like plot line to happen, you know? And because of the way that they are written, because again, the bounds that the Bakers are putting on things, like they're making sure everyone maintains consent. And that's like a huge part of allowing for that like PvP also.
Yeah, I mean, like it's like a safety tool is not a thing that like you do at the beginning of this game. It is like built into itself. It is such a philosophy.
It's like a philosophy of the
design. When I play games, I'm not normally somebody who does like intimate role play. That's not like, it's just not what I do. Mm-hmm. For mostly because I kind of tend to trip up. Like I'm almost intimidated by it. But almost every Firebrands game I play, I actually really love doing like stealing time together is like the usual name of it or something like that. And
yeah,
it's because like, and there's like two things specifically talking about like how the game facilitates this beautiful like consensual storytelling is both in how it does combat and sex, like, which like there's something there, right? Like there's a thematic narrative, like what is sword fighting but making out, right? And what is making out but sword fighting?
There's also this incredible thing in the combat of these games where very often, like, so in this mini game, a tactical skirmish, it's like you're in your mechs, you're doing a big fight. Like, when it's your turn to make a move, you pick one that says, like, submit or withdraw now, or my force spreads itself too thin and you pick off blank who was straggling, right? It's yeah. I submit now or my guys get fucked up, you know? Like, it's this interesting commentary on violence of, like, I'm willing to throw my people away to keep this going, you know? And, again, gets back into that consent thing of, like, this maintains consent, but it is also something that is, like, really thematically interesting about a statement here.
There's like a fun thing where it's like you can choose, because like what it matters, what it cares about is a cool story. Like, you are here understanding that this is a dramatic story that you're telling. So like with meeting sword to sword, which is the one-on-one version of tactical skirmish, is like one of my favorite leading questions, one of my favorite leads is, I overreach slightly and you have an opportunity to slip in a dirty little cut. Do you take it? And like, that's a thing I choose. Like, in narrative, I get to be like, oh, I have an opening. But the cool thing is, like, all of these things are always pushing it back at you. So it's like, I set a thing, but then do you take the opportunity? And it's like, I think both answers are so cool. A yes and a no mean so many like different things. And then you like back and forth it. And it's so fun.
It's so much fun to choose how I want to be vulnerable to you. Right.
Yeah.
And then you get to choose whether to take advantage of that vulnerability or not.
And then like stealing time together is all of the, you do an advance, like one person does an advance and then the other one chooses an answer, which are two different prompt tables. And so all of the advance end in may I. So it's like, I touch your wrist, may I? I touch your hand, may I? I touch your fingertips. But then it can also go like, I loosen your clothing, may I? So it's like this, like, I do not only touch but kiss you as above, may I? And then the answers are like, you may, or you may, but first I want you to blank, will you? Like, it's this like beautiful. And then there's even like, you may not, but instead I make an advance, may I? Or you may not, and I withdraw to a more comfortable distance. Like, you may not, and I break off and I depart. Like, and then like the scene makes sense in my brain, and it's like, I reach out to touch you, but I'm never forcing it on you. You can always back out, or you can always pull in, and it's like really wonderful.
Yeah, just constant checking in. The other thing that like I was thinking about immediately when you started talking about this game is like how much the quality of the writing is what these things rely on, you know? Yeah. Like it's not just the like baking in the kind of consent and like choosing your own vulnerability thing that like we were just talking about, or like it's having well-written sentences, you know, mm-hmm, it's having like sentences where when you say them out loud, they sound good coming out of your mouth. You know, there's this thing I have found with a lot of people who like read text at a table is, you know, you'll sort of like run down the garden path of a sentence and like get lost in the middle of the sentence and then have to kind of, it's like you're reading the sentence you haven't read before. So you say it with an odd cadence, yes, you know, yeah. And like a lot of people will have that happen when they are playing read aloud games in person. And like the quality of the writing here is so high that like even when that kind of shit is happening, it sounds good coming out of your mouth, right? Uh-huh. Like it's truly just like the sentences themselves fucking rule.
Well, and that's why I'm like, this is kind of a game where you don't need to role play because they're written really well. Like they're, and importantly, like, which I think like any prompt game, the prompts need to be written well. Like the prompts need to be full of flavor. But then specifically in kind of any like story forward role-playing game, I think like it's like dripping with a lot of intentional verbiage, and like it's still like very important to the world itself. These aren't like broad prompts about the type of scene. They're very specific prompts about the type of story it's telling. So when I read, like, there's a chase, which is also one of my favorite scenes, which is you are chasing somebody. Like, I choose a person to be chasing. And it's like, I plunge through stinking, muddy water. Follow me if you want, but you'll need to ignore the stench and filth and ruin your clothing. And that says so much, like, about the world, the types of characters you can make. Like, it's just so much. And also, specifically Firebrands, like, because it's, like, if, you know, like, it's space opera mech fighting. It's, like, there's literally, like, an aristocracy who is, like, one of the factions that you get to be a part of. So just the prompt of, like, you'll need to ignore the stench and filth and ruin your clothing. I might be, like, no, absolutely not. Like, are you kidding me? I'm a part of the, oh fuck, what are they called? But like one of the factions, like I'm a part of the empire. So like, I'm not going to fucking do that. Yeah. Get the fuck away from me. Maybe the revolutionary is like, I'll chase you through hell and mud and brimstone. Fuck you.
I'm like a noble rich boy. Yeah. I guess you got away. Yeah.
And like, it's not just cause it's fun. Like the chase could just be a bunch of like, you know, I run through mud. It slows you down. I dash through the streets. It's like,
yeah, you can almost treat it like, ooh, you're doing like mix and match poetry with what the bakers have already written. Of like,
oh my god, it is like poetry. It is like call and response poetry.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so we've done a lot talking about the like micro level, how Firebrands is working at the prompt level, and how good the poetry like text is in the game. But like, that's not actually what I summoned you here to talk about. Like, I want to talk about the like mechanical framework at large, right? Because in a lot of ways, like I'm glad we did all that. I think that shit rules. And also like, I really think that the big picture mechanical framework here would hold up even if the writing kind of sucked at the like floor level. Like even just the idea of here's 9 scenes you could potentially choose when it's your turn. That's huge for helping a table role play. Like the idea of you're going to take turns framing scenes, huge. And like a great like way to do a like structure a GM-less thing. You know, I mean, Fiasco is not a lot more than that. And I really love Fiasco, right? And having these list of scenes, even just the titles of the games, right? Like the mini games are Solitaire, which is its own whole episode of this show, and I'm going to breeze right past. An animated disagreement, a chase, a conversation over food, a dance, a free-for-all, meeting sword to sword, stealing time together, and a tactical skirmish. And I feel like all of those, you could just say the title and like, I kind of know what we need to do to turn that into a good scene.
Yeah.
You know, like so much of like what makes a good scene is people coming in, like having some sort of goal for the scene. Like the worst scenes are like scenes in Dungeons and Dragons where you're like kind of just sitting around being like, well, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Like the just directionless kind of stuff. Right. And immediately, like, coming in with a chase, it's like, who's chasing? Who's being chased? Why? The why is even optional.
We can literally play to find out
the why, you know? But, like, we know immediately, like, you're trying to get away. I'm trying to catch you. That's drama, baby. Let's get into it. Like,
oh, God. Yes, everything. Like, it's so beautiful because, one, like, the games kind of tell you, like, read the list of scenes out loud. Like, don't go over all of them, but just, like, let everybody at the table know these are what's all available. And then also, like, genre is so important to this. Like, let's take The King is Dead, which, like, we're talking about Firebrands games overall. One of my favorite Firebrands games, if I could shout it out, is They Came to Play Ball by Adira Slattery, which is, like, science fiction gonzo sports tournament.
It's Space Jam.
It's weird. It's so fun. I love They Came to Play Ball. And the thing is, like, you go into They Came to Play Ball and you're like, we're telling a sports story. And so, like, you know, what are the games? Like, Practice Together, Blowing Off Steam, Conversation Over Drinks instead of just food. Like, you kind of, like, pull on the genre of it. I go, okay, cool. Like, what's supposed to happen when we have practice together? Like, what is in The King is Dead, which is like medieval-y kind of Game of Thrones, right? Is like, when we meet sword to sword, you pull on that idea of what that scene is so clearly in your mind. Like, we are going to fight and it's going to be brutal, but it's also going to be like intimate. Like, it's about the conversation that we're having. Or like, I'm choosing you to fight, but then like, I'm a scrawny little prince and you're like the butcher of some battle, and it's like, what's going to happen is I'm choosing to fight you because you're going to beat the shit out of me. Like, that's the point of that scene in this story. And these are like so importantly picked out. Like, every Firebrands game cares about these scenes happening. The fun thing about this is that it is a limitation. Like, the structure is very limited. And what you were mentioning about how, like, kind of going into a scene not knowing what to do, like, I'd even brought that out to, like, PBTA games. I have that problem with sometimes because you don't have, like, as direct a lever as just, like, fuck it, like, roll a d20, see what happens, right? It's like, I kind of have to grasp at moves, and I have to be like, okay, I guess I have to get, like, I want to trigger this move in this scene, so I have to tell the tale, but, like, what am I going for? Like, what's the point? But in a Firebrands, I'm like, yeah, like, this game only cares about these types of scenes, so a dance will occur. A free-for-all has to happen. Like, when do they happen? How often do they happen? It's just so easy.
I've been thinking about the PBTA thing in particular with, you know, so I'm crowdfunding this, I'm kickstarting my game Bandits and Bullet Holes right now, which a little bit has some of this structure to it. And we'll talk about that later a little bit. But like, I have been thinking about how in classic PBTA games, there's very little assistance for framing scenes. And most PBTA games still are like scene-based games. Like, they still sort of demand that you do like set up and like run scenes, but then they have a bunch of, they don't give you tools to set up the scenes. What they have is a bunch of buttons you can press in the middle of the scene, like the moves, right? And so you end up in this scene, you're kind of like looking at each other, like sniffing out like what's this scene about, and then someone's like, I'm going aggro, and like, now that's what the scene is about. And like, you know, then you have a good list to respond to. And like, That's not like super fair. Apocalypse World 3rd Edition in particular has introduced a bunch of like moves that trigger at the start of a scene to sort of like solve exactly this problem. And you also have like read a situation and read a person are like really clearly designed to be like, what's going on here? Let's pull some conflict out of like whatever's going on here, you know? But at the same time, like, it feels like you're filling up the bowl of the scene where Firebrands is like, here's eight bowls.
One. Yeah. Oh, that's such a great way to talk about it. Yeah.
And like, I think these are two really different like approaches to getting, like, pulling the string on the back of the toy to, like, get it to move, you know, of yeah. the game. Like, of, like, one of them being like, hey, here's the deal. Like, we're going to set up the scene for you. We're going to frame the scene. We're going to give you that bowl. We're going to pull that string for you. And then, like, have fun, man. Like Firebrands doesn't work this way exactly. It is kind of doing both. It really holds your hand all the way through a scene. But my experience with, like, Band-Aids and Bullet Holes has been like, I do all of this structure around creating the bowl and, like, getting you into the scene. And then it's like, go nuts. And people go nuts and they know what to do because, like, they know the genre, like, they know what's going on. Like, they can just freeform role play and, like, do a great job at it, you know? And it's, they just need to sort of, like, get to the moment when I want something from you and you don't want to give it from me.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. Like, then now we got a scene cooking, you know? Now we got a stew brewing.
It's like expectation, I think, is like the best part about this. It's like, you know when this will end. Like, you, and so you play to get to the most exciting ending or something like that, right? Like, I actually really like the idea of, it's like, you don't know exactly when a scene ends, but you know a scene will end, which is, like, weirdly interesting to me. It's like, okay, cool.
You're like kind of always playing towards ending the scene, whatever that's gonna look like,
right? Yeah. Which, like, I feel like saying that out loud is like, well, that's obvious, like, you're kind of always doing that, but, like, I feel like that's, everyone has experience playing a game where you're just kind of like, are we done?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
have I actually done the thing I want to do?
I should do a whole episode on cutting scenes.
I mean, too. That's like, it is, cut it earlier than you think is always kind of the answer. And the fun thing about Firebrands is that it ends up cutting a scene pretty early, which is great.
It's just like, you go back and forth three times and then you're done, and maybe here's some, like, ending procedure, but, like, that's it.
And it's fun that we're talking about this in the context of, like, PBTA stuff, because, well, one, it's the Baker's lineage. Like, they did Apocalypse World and then Firebrands came after it, and it's such a, like, I always call Firebrand scenes just if a move was a single scene. Like, it's what it is, right?
That is 100% what they are. I don't think anyone would argue with that.
No.
I don't think the Bakers would argue with that. They've, like, explicitly called Firebrands as a framework powered by the Apocalypse. Like, that's what's happening.
It's, like, such that. It's just like, okay, what if instead of you can trigger multiple moves in a scene, it's just like you do that whole thing once. I'm gonna quickly shout out another system that I really like, Legacy Life Among the Ruins, like the Legacy system by Minerva McJonda, who, like, takes PBTA into, like, a very larger framework. Like, I think it's, like, it's a very crunchy PBTA, which I love. To think about it that way. And specifically, it's like, that has, like, these larger moves that are very Firebrands-y, in that, like, you are kind of doing a call and response and you are, like, framing a whole scene about it. Like, you zoom, it's got, like, two, the Legacy system kind of, like, you play a faction and then you make individuals. So it's very, like, ensemble cast, like, you're playing huge things. So, like, often whenever the moves that are about a faction's moves are really big, so, like, they include a bunch of stuff. So this, like, kind of lineage of, like, thinking about PBTA, like, powered by the Apocalypse, as buttons that you can press in a scene to get interesting things, but it doesn't really start a scene. Like, you do a move to find an end, and
yeah,
then Firebrands being like, you have the start, like, you know exactly what the scene is, it's kind of contained in this, and then seeing, like, it grow into, like, Legacies kind of, you can move around moves all you want, but then, like, once you trigger one thing, it could be this huge move that just feels like a Firebrand scene. It's like this fun, like, we're learning and building,
very much playing with scale, right? Of, like, are you operating on the scale of, like, a single beat within a scene? Are you operating on the scale of a scene, or on, like, the scale of an entire episode of television, or, like, a lore dump, or, you know, it sounds like what you're doing,
yeah,
with Legacy.
I love the idea of, like, a move just be, or not a move, a scene being like, let's just lore dump. Like, we want,
yeah,
to have that.
Yeah. Let's just, like, pause and do a couple of rounds of Microscope in the middle of this, right? Like, that's the move.
And it's
now
great. And it's like, that's kind of the, because each move is, or each scene is a game. They're, like, kind of, they're called, like, mini games in some points, right? Where it's like, all right, pick a mini game, because they all, or a structure, sure, but, like, they can fuck with themselves and their own structure within it.
I want to hit on also, like, how much I love the idea of taking turns that's baked into the process of picking a scene here. Yeah, exactly. That exhalation you just made, right? It's like board games have got it fucking right. The idea that it's your turn, on your turn, you're going to do like one unit of play, and then it's someone else's turn. It's like it naturally passes the spotlight. And because it comes with a framework, you know, we're kind of like doing this even in like Dungeons and Dragons, right? Like everyone kind of understands, like, we're going to check in with you while you go to the shop. Okay, now what are you doing over here? It's a little bit like the GM is sort of like going around letting people take turns. Then you get into combat and like people are literally taking turns, right? But when you think about what should the unit of play be in the way that the Firebrand system has thought about that, you get this really clear, I get to do a scene. This is roughly what a scene is going to look like. This is roughly how long it's going to take. Here are my like rules for doing so. So I feel like I get like a fair amount on my turn, like in my time in the spotlight. And then we like pass it off. Like it really is a good way of like sharing time with the story and like control over the story, and in a way that feels democratic while you also allowing you to get your fingerprints on the thing. You know, it's just like, and then doesn't need a GM.
Yeah.
Like it's just so wonderful in all these ways.
And this is not me like taking shots at like belonging outside, belonging or no dice, no masters, but like I think like that is a long-form GM-less game. It's a GM-less scene-based like role play heavy game, and I find that like because it's very free form, like, and you're just kind of like making weak and strong moves, like it's a difficult game to play. I consider like belonging outside belonging difficult role playing, and so like I find like, you know, you're like, okay, like, and then should I be jumping in, can I do this, can I do that, but like the scene structure and the fact that you are just like taking turns, it's so like, okay, like wait, or like you can wait, like you don't need to worry about being on all the time. It's also like, I think similarly, this nice like democratic, very, or like very empathetic or kind kind of structure is like when you pick a scene, like it's my turn, I pick a scene, and you usually always choose a partner or X amount of people to join. And so like I can be like, oh, we had this scene together, like, or we kind of have like this little story going on next to each other. Like, I want to do a dance with you. And then like two things happen. So I got to like point out a person at the table and be like, let's do something together. Like, let's role play. So there's like a nice like inclusion and choice. Like, I get to choose who I want to role play with. And then also every game basically has this line, other players can join freely if it makes sense for the characters to also be present at the dance. So there's also this, like, we're talking about consent a bunch, but like the turn structure of it also is like, I can be like, you know what, like I actually don't want to role play, or I kind of don't care about being in this, so I'm going to step back. Or, ooh, I have an idea for this, can I jump in? And there's often like audience stuff in other Firebrands things. So it's like during the discussion, anyone can ask for details about the setting, occasion, or circumstances. And you are just kind of like going like, oh, yeah, you can cut them off. Hoots and boos optional, and like all these different things. Yeah.
I love the audience stuff. It's the way, then when you get into conducting the discussion, it's conducted like, I did not do high school debate, but it feels like high school debate where like people are like, some people are in the audience and you've got two people with like two positions on stage, and like, we know they're arguing with each other, having an animated disagreement, right? But then like, instead of like role playing that out exactly, everyone in the audience gets a turn to choose from the list of challenges. And the challenges are stuff like, please express your position in the form of a slogan that people can rally behind,
yeah,
right? Please make a personal attack on your counterpart. And it's like, it's so unfair in a way that feels really appropriate. And like, you're handing like the drawer of knives to like stab these people with to the audience instead of to each other, right? Like,
yeah, and like you don't have to be a good GM because they hand you these tools, they hand you the knives. It's a good GM-less game in the sense that like you get to be GM here and there. You get to like be the director where it's like, I get to choose the scene. I think where the story should go next is a duel. Like, I want to do a duel. Or, like, we've been having a lot of combat. What I think would be really interesting is if we have a conversation over food and we just had a battle together and we have to talk now, right? Like, and, like, there's, like, that's something really beautiful. And then similarly, like, you can take a step back. You're like, okay, like, I've been a part of a lot of scenes, so I'm going to not be a part of the scene. Or, like, if somebody has kind of been hogging narrative, or not even positive or negative, when it's your turn, you can just choose not to engage with them. You're like, hey, like, I haven't heard from you in a little bit. Let's have a scene together. Like, it's this really lovely, you can step in and out of the story as you want, and everyone will always have a turn to say what they want, and everyone will always have a say on, like, what they think narratively should happen next. Like, it just a great framework. Like, I feel like I can't say that more times, but, like,
I love my little, like, handing you the drawer of knives metaphor here, because I think it also works at a bunch of scales. Like, that works at the scale of the prompts, like I was using it before, but then you were just using it at the scale of, like, the scenes, which, as we were kind of talking about earlier, like, are sort of prompts in their own right, right? Mm-hmm. I think what good games are doing is they, like, build a foundation in their rules and their fiction and everything that the designer is sort of, like, offering to the table that you then sit down and build on top of, like, as players during the game. And people have, like, really different tastes in terms of, like, how much do they want the designer to come in? Do they want the designer to come in with fiction, or do they want the designer to come in with mechanics? Like, you know, like, there's a lot of different, like, taste opinions in here, but fundamentally, I feel like that is what is kind of happening here when we play these games. And I love this framework because it is just, it so flags exactly what you are supposed to do with the things that the game is offering. It knows exactly what to offer in what way. And, like, this is not the only way to do this. Not all games should be Firebrand games. Although, if I was going to pick something, I might pick this. Like, this game is just such a beautiful example of this is, each thing in this game is the exact right shape for the thing that it is trying to do.
Yeah, I actually, really funny, like, if I had to put my foot down on something, I wouldn't say all games need to be Firebrands, because similar, actually, to my No Dice, No Masters, like, Belonging Outside Belonging take, I actually, like, tried to move a people who are playing D&D for the first time that I was running for them. I was like, I'm just not having fun running this, but could we try, like, King is Dead, which I thought was, like, at least a thematically similar, etc. I was like, could we try this? And they struggled with it because it wasn't, like, it wasn't what they thought, right? Like, it was too, it's actually too hand-holdy for the super freeform people. Or, like, I just, like, saw firsthand, I was like, oh, yeah, like, it's still unapproachable on a GM-less level for people who don't really understand that. Or, like, you know, there's just so many other things. And it was, like, really interesting to see. But I would put, like, my money down on, like, every designer should play a Firebrands, because what you will learn is exactly what we've been talking about. It's like, you will learn, like, the importance of setting up a scene and knowing when to end it. You will know, like, the importance of, like, verbiage and getting somebody to jump right into the genre that you want them to play in. You'll, like, how power can be shifted. I mean, like, even in a GM'd game, just putting into your mechanics a bid for other players to get involved, right? Like, just, like, having that be a part of, like, something that you do, or just, like, it just make you a better GM, I think, if you play a Firebrands game, because you'll see, like, how much more engaged a table can get when you let them, like, into that seat even a little bit. So, like, I'm actually, like, a huge, like, play Firebrands, like, make more games that think about scenes as this game does.
Hey campers, have you heard of season 5 of 5 GMs in a Trenchcoat from Inside the Tent? You haven't? Well, let us tell you about it.
A nice, green, natural regional park. This is Hidden Falls Regional Park. For our purposes, in our world, it's a bit larger than it actually is. It is the summer of 1983, and it is all of your first time getting to stay at Hidden Falls.
We promise it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a story of three childhood friends going across the Americas in 1987 using Kids on Bikes second edition. So grab a blanket, make some coffee. The first three episodes are available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to flag a couple other sort of like random things here. The first is, I just love that the bakers were like, why are you all making PBTA games that look exactly like Apocalypse World? like you can like push things this far, right? I think Belonging Outside Belonging Games kind of did the same thing. But just go invent an entire new kind of game, you know? But I do think,
Yeah, come on, guys.
What are we doing here? But I do think that like there is embedded in this, like you can see the mechanical roots of Apocalypse World in here while it looking really differently. And I think that's really cool. And I think people should feel empowered to have their games look more different from Apocalypse World when they're starting from a PBTA kind of framework.
Actually, if you really want to, if like for the design sickos out there, or like for the kind of academic-y lineage of games thing, you should then, if you haven't, play the Baker's Sundered Land games, because you'll really see how slim a PBTA move can be, and also how like Sundered Land is basically Firebrands, because each game is like very strict set up mechanics and stuff like that, but they're all connected in a single way. So like I really love those. Night Watch is like one of my favorite games of all time. So yeah, like just make a new game, but like see like kind of how much you can stretch your inspirations.
The other like big thing I want to call out here is I love Stew Pot, Tales from a Fantasy Tavern by Takuma Okada, which I think is really remarkable for the way that it keeps every scene really, really low stakes. Like all the mini games are like, there's like, you know, you're retired adventurers who started their own tavern, and like, yeah, a bard has come in and is like singing a song about one of your old adventures and they're getting it a little wrong. And like, that scene is great and like has made me cry, you know? It's really, really, really great stuff, and is just so radically different in terms of content and approach while keeping a really similar mechanical framework.
Yeah, I mean, like, also to kind of criticize some of my absolute favorite games is, like, I think similarly with, Powered by the Apocalypse games, designers aren't deviating enough from, like, the original thing that they made. And, like, I find that a lot of Firebrands games also still keep a lot of the same mini games, same type of stuff. But then Stew Pot was such a breath of fresh air for me because it was, like, they're very different. Like, the framework is the same, but like the types of scene are very different, and the stakes. I love that you mentioned the stakes, actually. Like, I hadn't thought about that specifically, but that's exactly what it is. It's like, it's such a minor thing, but like it gets you to care about very specific small things in the same way that I would care about like a big duel that I'm having in The King is Dead. And it's so lovely. So yeah, huge, huge fan of Stew Pot.
I did a whole episode on that one too, so people can go listen to that. Yeah, but then, okay, so then the last thing I wanted to talk about is fucking my game, right? So I've got this game, Bandits and Bullet Holes. Yeah. It's on Kickstarter, go back it. It's doing the John Wick thing, right? So someone has killed John Wick's dog and he wants to go kill them because revenge. And I wanted to do this like Firebrands episode because I had this really interesting experience designing Bandits and Bullet Holes where I was like, well, this is going to be like a Firebrands kind of game, I think, right? Like, I'll just watch John Wick and write down every kind of scene, and then those will be the kinds of scenes that you can pick from, right? There's John Wick like shows up at a bar and is like, who killed my dog? And the bartender is like, I'll never tell you. And then John Wick gets him to tell him. And, you know, and then there's John Wick shows up at a club and murders 24 people, right? And then there's John Wick has been shot and goes to the doctor and the doctor stitches him up. And
right.
I was like, cool, we'll just like make a list, a pretty small list. I had like 4 or 5 things. That's another thing that I think is interesting. You don't have to have like a huge menu of options. You know, you can go kind of small. But when I started playing, people were just like playing all of these scenes exactly the same way. Like all of the scenes were just the same scene. It was like, and the scene was like, John Wick shows up and he wants something and the other person doesn't want to give it to him. And now you role play. And I found that so it's not a Firebrands hack anymore, unless you're sort of like just talking about design lineage. But I found that really interesting that like I sort of did. It was interesting to like start from that framework of like, I want to do this thing. I want to like write down all these different kinds of scenes and then find what the commonality between all those things was and like distill down into that.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that's really beautiful. And it goes into like when we do genre emulation, like if that's what your game is about, like you, every time you play this game, you tell a John Wick, right? Then like, that's like exactly what you should do. Like it's just, I mean, even if you're not doing a Firebrands, you should just be like, these are all the scenes. These scenes should happen at some point. And it's really cool to hear that. Like the scenes just kind of happen exactly what it was, exactly the same every time, but then not seeing that as like necessarily a failure, but instead going like, okay, then maybe I don't need all of this stuff. I can just like, what is getting people to make it? And I mean, presumably also players like, are just going, wow, that was great. I told a John Wick. And then you're like, oh, okay, cool. Like,
yeah,
we did that. And you're like, yeah, so did everybody else who played this game. But like, you did it, right? Like, it's kind of a funny thing. I think maybe as like a designer, you're also in the back of your head being like, is this okay? But then also it's like, every table is different. No table is talking to each other in the same way. So like, I don't know. Like, so where did you end up with like slimming it back? And like, or because you were saying like it, like it's no longer like a scene based like a Firebrands exactly, but
it is still scene based, right? So it keeps the, you have a turn and on your turn you pick the scene, right? But the way that you pick the scene is you say no one is like locked into one character. There's a bunch of like characters, yeah, in the middle of the table that are related to whatever the revenge story is, right?
And you're pulling.
Yeah, so on your turn, you pick like, who am I going to like pick up and cast myself as for this scene?
Love that.
What does this character want and who do they want it from? And then someone else picks up the who they want it from. So like, I'm John Wick. I want the bartender to tell me who killed my dog. So you're like, okay, cool. I'm going to play the bartender now. And then you get to say, like, where are we? Are we at your bar? Are we at the laundromat? Like, did I catch you, like, on a smoke break in the alley? Like, are we on top of a skyscraper or, like, leaping out of an airplane? Like, you get to decide. And then now we're in it. And, like, it's very clear where to start. Like, sometimes, like, the exact moment is unclear. Typically, it's John Wick walks into the bar. But, like, we could totally start it on, like, yeah, I'm John Wick's dangling off of the helicopter that you're in, you know? But then we just roleplay. And like everyone, like because the genre is so strong, at that point, everyone kind of knows what to do. Like everyone has an understanding of like, for Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, you don't need all these like incredible poetic questions because people have just like read books and seen movies, yeah, before, you know? It's really just the like the tools of, here's how you get good drama. You have a character who really wants something from someone else and that person doesn't want to give it to them. Like that is enough for this genre.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because an action movie is so, I was going to say innate, which is like wrong. Like everybody likes different things, but I do think it's like, it's simple. An action movie is a simple thing to emulate because you go, I'm going to be a cool guy and eventually a cool guy is going to do a cool thing. But a cool thing kind of has to be built up to. So like, let's build up to it. And you're like, great, yeah, that's easy. I love the picking up characters too. That also, the thing about Firebrands, to like relate this, I guess, back in ins and outs that I really like about your game is like, it's about that moment of like, okay, we've done some role play. Now let's take a hot sec to like think about the meta and then we jump back in. So it's like this like cool down overview, jump back in.
Yeah, like, it's that natural like stepping in and out of character kind of thing.
Which I think like helps create a cohesive story. And I love that picking the characters is also a part of that where it's like, oh, I have an idea for this guy. Like this is the scene you're going to do. Let me be the bartender. I actually think I have something I want him to do. And then like, that's a part of the meta negotiation that I think is so fun.
And it's also, I'm just realizing that like my list of scenes is the characters rather than the scenes. That's interesting.
What? Really? Oh, that rules.
Well, I mean, like if you think about it, like that's just an interesting way to think about it. I wonder, because like sometimes in the same way that like in Firebrand, sometimes you're like, I know that I want my character to come confront you about our past. So, like, let me look at the scenes and, like, pick a scene that's going to allow me to do that. And sometimes I'm like, we haven't had a chase yet. I'd really love to do a chase. Let's, like, figure out a reason. You know, sometimes you have the reason and you find the game to fit it. And sometimes you have the game and you find a reason to fit it. In the same way here in Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, sometimes you're like, all the characters have their cards with a little art on them, right? So sometimes you like look at the art and you're like, I love the way Barf looks, right? Like, I want to play as Barf. Like, what can I have Barf go do? And sometimes you're like, okay, but like John Wick like knows who the guy is that he wants to kill, and we've been playing for 90 minutes. So like the scene is he goes, tries to kill that guy. Like that, yeah. That's so clearly the thing that happens next.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those things are great. Like, I really love the flexibility of, oh, I have a great idea for what happens next. Or I like the look of that person. Like, let's go find out what their deal is. Both of those things are fun.
I mean, yeah, then I really think that your characters are your scenes. Like, you've gone from like, well, I don't need to frame the scene. But you are like, I, the designer, want to make sure that these characters are interesting. Like, the characters need to be the thing that draw people to it. I think that's just so cool. That's such a fun, like, iteration on this.
I'm excited about this. I'm going to get to start using that as a line now whenever I talk about the game. Like,
yeah. It, like, really felt that way. I was like, wait, this is, like, you've changed something in a way that's so fun.
Yeah. One last thing. I like to sort of end with like, okay, anything else you want to say about Firebrands? I like ask people that at the end, but I have one last thing I want to say about Firebrands, so I'm going to do it this time. So there's this thing that like Jason Morningstar said like offhand in a Discord comment once that I think about all the time of, and I don't know if this is like his idea originally or someone else's, or if I'm misremembering him, but whatever, that RPG design is deciding who frames scenes, who cuts scenes, and who resolves conflict within those. And like you deciding like which of those is the game going to handle, or which of those is the game going to dictate, and which of those are you going to like kind of leave up to play culture. And that's it. You know, like that's what you're doing when you're deciding. And like, I really love that. And I love strong and clear answers to those questions, which I think Firebrands really provides, of like, who's framing the scenes? Like, I get to frame the scene, but like the bakers are helping a lot, you know? And like, who's cutting the scenes? The bakers are largely cutting the scenes, but like, we know they're coming. We get to like have our hand on the dial there a little bit.
Yeah.
And then who resolves conflict is, again, the bakers are like giving us a drawer of knives to choose from, but like our options are really clear, and then we get to choose from those options. That's really fun for me.
Yeah. And like very explicitly, like the game will be like, after three questions, anyone can ask a closing question. So like you can play it out for multiple times, but like straight up there, like when you're done, do this, like close it. And then I get to be like, cool, I'm closing it. We're done. Like very, yeah.
It'd be really great if I just like ended the episode on you saying like, we're done.
We're done.
There's the end.
That's really funny.
But I do want to leave it open for you too. Like, do you have any like kind of concluding thoughts on Firebrands as a framework?
I mean, I mentioned that I'm like, a designer should always play this. Like, I think every designer should play a Firebrands is very important to me for just so much that we talked about. I also just really like, I know you had kind of said like Solitaire could be its own episode,
but I
do want to mention Solitaire real quick, which is like, or the two things actually, like Mobile Frame Freedom Firebrands does not have an ending game, but a lot of Firebrands games have ending games, which I also think is cool. So they're like, it also includes usually a solitaire, which is a game that you can kind of play at any point by yourself, or you choose to do that as your scene, and it's just like a you do this. And I think that is also just such a beautiful, like, you get to take a moment to yourself. You can even just, it's essentially a skip your turn in some form, because you could just be like, I don't really have anything, I'm going to do a solitaire. And then it changes your character. It changes, like, something in the world. But it's minor and small, and it's, like, a breath of really interesting solo play in a GM-less game.
Yeah. And it's interesting because you can play it while other people are playing their game.
Yeah.
Like if you're sort of like setting out, and then after their game is over, it goes pretty quick. And so you can come back and be like, hey, by the way, while you were doing that, like my people attacked your people. Like that's what my solitaire said, or like whatever the thing is that's happening. You can bring that little drama into the next thing.
It's so cool.
I've never actually played one of these games with solitaire and like had the solitaire experience. My fear has always been that like people are going to be playing solitaire when it's not their turn, and then they're going to miss what happens in the scene that other people are doing, and like that's going to end up being a problem. Or like, mm-hmm. I really love just the joy of being an audience member to other scenes when the like people involved are like smart and good, and this game really helps support people in being smart and good. And so I'm curious to maybe one day do the solitaire episode after I've had a chance to play with it, because I think the benefits are so lofty and potentially great. Yeah. And also like I see those roadblocks and I'm curious how they play at the table.
Well, because like I'm very similar. Like I have played every solitaire game in Firebrands I've played, but it's such a choice. Like I go, I should try the solitaire, and then I try it and it's like really cool. But I'm also very much like, I love being a part of the audience. I love being a part of a scene. Like I love just being clued in, which I think is also like the beauty of like this game, like a Firebrands framework caters to play styles. Like I will also know people who are like, I just need to take a second, or like, I don't actually really care about what's happening right now or something like that. And then they can solitaire for like a brief moment. And it's like really cool. Like you're still a part of it. So I'm like with you on it, where like, I think they're so fascinating, but I just don't play them. I don't like, they're not the type of play I do. And then my final note is on a closing game, which I really like. The King is Dead is a great example of this, where basically it is like, generally the thing is that the game can kind of end whenever. Like Firebrands kind of ends whenever. It's like, you know, when everybody does two scenes is kind of like, I think is actually what its closing thing is. But what is it? Ending play is...
to end the game, resolve the outstanding questions you've raised. Okay.
Yes. And it's like, after once a round, anyone can decide to end play on that player's turn. But then, like, in The King is Dead, which is about, like, the king is dead, and there are all these different families vying for the throne. Once everyone has gone once, any player can trigger the coronation. And then you play the coronation. And I think that's really cool about Firebrands, is this like, it's almost like a gate. Like it's, here's a game, a scene that you can't do until you've done something else, and then like it walks you through an epilogue in such a fun way. And like, it's again just like the game knows when it wants to end, the game knows how it wants to end, but then the players have so much power in like when. And I think that's just so much fun.
100%. The game is incredible. This is in my like top games of all time tier list. I really, really love The King is Dead specifically. King is up there for me. I just love that fucking game. Stewpot's probably up there too. Play these games. They're fantastic. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on Kickstarter. Vidya, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I really just came on and was like, Firebrands!
That's great. That's exactly the energy that I want to have people bring into the show. Thanks again to Viditya for being here. Go back, Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on Kickstarter now, and then follow Viditya on Blue Sky at Viditya Valetti. Check out his games, including the lovely world-building game A Land Once Magic, on his Itch page. As always, you can find me on Blue Sky at Dice Exploder, and you can find my games at sdunewald.itch.io. Our logo was designed by Sporgery, our theme song is Sunset Bridge by Purely Gray, and our ad music is Lily Pants by my boy Travis Tesmer. This episode was edited by Emma Costa. Thanks, Em. And thanks to you for listening. I'll see you next time.